Harihi
Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunatu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavinavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 78 Srila Jiva Goswami writes, those who, giving up attempts to understand your powers and living constantly in devotional association, who pass their lives respecting topics about you and your associates with the ear, by body, mind, and words, which they proclaim loudly, bring you under control, though you cannot be controlled by anyone in the three worlds. Yes, because the aspect we see is the highest level within the neophyte position is that of the jnani, who wants to know about God. He wants to know his position and authority and everything like that. But that's the aspect of I getting to know, then I become more comfortable. Does that make sense? So, therefore, when one gives up that attempt and one is simply interested in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, whatever aspect it may be, whether it's about how he's the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of the material world, Lord of Vaikuntha, Lord in Dwarka, Lord in Braja, he just wants to hear about the Lord. And one's dedicated the body, mind, and words to that, or that thing. That kind of person, then that brings Krishna under control. Right? Though no one can control him. He is independent. But that's what controls him. But if you want to know just because how he's God and this and that, then that means it's not so much about him, it's more about his position. But when it's just hearing about him, and whatever it is, even he has the position, he is God, so you'll naturally hear about those things. So it's a different flavor. Right? It's a higher flavor. So that's why sometimes seemingly our line is not taken so seriously, because the top of the line, even though they're great scholars, they don't present themselves as scholars. They don't have that scholarly identity. Well, you see, then other Vedic lines, they tend to, the higher up you get, the more scholarly they are. And they have that attitude. You know, it's just like in the West, the academics, they have that attitude, that academic attitude. That's what makes them, in their mind, superior. Even though there's plenty of common people in their mind, they probably have more knowledge, especially about practical application. Right? Because they just have scholarship. But they take that as the highest. Does that make sense? Because it's one of the opulences. Right? Knowledge is one of the opulences. But here it's not about having the opulence. It's about hearing and chanting, remember about Krishna and his opulences, because it's how he interacts and enjoys interaction with his opulences, rather than having them. Does that make sense? We lost everybody here. Yeah.
We know that our character is the greatest scholars in here, but then in the Nitya Seva, they do the simple service. You know,
right.
You know, sweeping the kunja, picking the flowers, and like that.
Yes.
So how can we, you know, match it?
Because the point is the personal relationship is greater than the knowledge. You know who someone is, and that's good. That's knowledge. But interacting with that someone, that gives much more taste. So why would it give more taste? Because it gives more taste to Krishna. Because Krishna is, he is all the opulences. He is the Lord of all the opulences. Anything he wants happens. So, that's not something special for him. But the affection that's there and that exchange, now that's special. Therefore, these little things that you do, those are done out of affection. Does that make sense? But to be able to do that, you need great qualification. Because we're doing something and then you stop doing that to go do something else. Then that means that there must be great affection to be able to do that. It must be about the other person. So that takes more qualification. So even though it looks so simple, it's actually something that people can't do. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to go out and, you know, get some water from the Jamuna. You know, but that means now I'm going to do this, and so nothing else should come up in between. But if in between, no, you're supposed to stop that and go do a different service. Then it's kind of like we feel unfulfilled or we didn't do the thing. But here it's not about the secondary, it's about the primary. So the primary being to please Radha and Krishna, then one, whatever secondary is the appropriate manifestation at the present, that's what you involve yourself in. So as it changes, then you can adjust with it. Well, we're so attached to the secondary that if we don't find a completion in the secondary, then we find that it's not satisfying. So actually, even though it appears that it's just some simple thing, it's actually due to great qualification. Does that make sense? Because they can sweep that kunja and not make it about themselves. They're just sweeping the kunja as part of the service of getting it done. So they could be sweeping the kunja, they could be decorating the kunja, they could go out picking flowers for the kunja. It doesn't matter. It's no, I want to do the most prestigious position. So if I've identified that decorating with flowers is the best, right? Because that's going to be seen and who notices the sweeping, right? So, does that make sense? So that's, it's just like, let's say, you have something, okay, we're going to dress the deities, right? We're going to bring all the stuff in. You're going to choose all the stuff. You're going to bring all the stuff in. Then you're going to take out all the other stuff. You're going to clean up. You're going to put everything into its place, right? Then you're going to have, the opening for the darshan and either artik or, you know, waving the chamara, spraying the scents, like that. Now, if we're talking about equalness in service, which ones are we talking about? Right? Dressing the deity, blowing the conch, offering the artik, waving the chamra, or, you know, the spray stuff or the mirror. Why those? Why is it no one's fighting over schlepping in all the outfits, schlepping them back out, changing the back curtains, wiping the floor on the way out, removing the bucket, making sure all the paraphernalia goes back, sticking all the jewelry back in its boxes and places? Why that's not part of the fight for equal service? It's unseen. You understand? So that's the whole point. It's all the anything that we see as a fight for equality is always something that will be seen, known, and has a prestigious aspect to it. No one's fighting over the backroom stuff that no one knows about. So then, is it about Krishna fully, or is it also about our social prestige? We can stand out there, you know, afterwards, you know, taking the darshan and seeing how beautiful you dress, and people come up, oh, this is fabulous, and this and that. And you know what I'm saying? No one's fighting for the 8:30 artik when everyone's at prashad. The 4 o'clock artik. You know what I'm saying? The 8:30 at night artik. No one. Like that. It's always the big festival artik, you know, that everyone's going to see or... No, they don't, none of the other artiks. So that's what I mean, is just to be able to take part in it and do something in there. and not have that position, well, this is my authority and that's my thing and you're not supposed to do this and I'm supposed to do this. So just that ability that sweeping needs to be done, you sweep. And if someone's already sweeping, then, you know, cleaning up over there or going and getting some water, or whatever needs to be done, that ability, that is actually due to that affection for Krishna. That's actually the symptom of advancement. That everybody can just do the needful. You know what needs to be done. And so if you can see, but if there's a bigger picture, then someone tells you what to do. Right? Now, do girls like people to tell them what to do? No. So here you have thousands of girls that are being told what to do. And in the past times, do you hear of any of the maidservants? No, nothing. Zip, zero. Right? So, you know, here in Bhagavatam, nothing. We read, you know, what we read, that passage from Vidak Lalita Madhava, nothing. So it's only some other, and here and again you'll hear something about it. And there's 5,000 to 6,000 of them. And you never hear about it. Now that's advanced, and they're being told what to do. Right? So that means, name me the lady in the three worlds that could do that. Go ahead, one name. Right? So that's the point. So it's not something ordinary. It's something very special. Because it's Nitya Sakhi. It means the others take different roles, but this is always a servant. Right? Here, friend meaning that you're always working for the other person's benefit. Just like in Sakyam in the nine processes. Sakyam means that you're doing what you know will please the other person. So for us, that means preaching. We know that by preaching, that will please Krishna, that will please Lord Chaitanya, as Krishna mentioned in the Gita. That's Sakyam. So always being in that mood. That's something special. So that's why for us, always the thing of being humble and all this and just trying to do your service is actually the predominance. So this kind of move to make it know, you know, who's in a bureaucratic position of administrative authority, that's the top. That's the symptom of advancement. Then it has zero to do, means actually zero to do with our attitude in devotional service. Because it's not about the hierarchy. There is a hierarchy, but it's not about the hierarchy. Does that make sense? So, they have the best management probably in the cosmos. Right? 20 minutes to set up for a rasa dance. Right? So 5,000 to 6,000 girls setting it up. Lalita steps out from the pastime when they first come to Govindastali. Right? She comes over with everybody, but when they get there and meet Krishna, then she goes out to set up for the next pastime. And so then that is all being done in that much. That means the place is swept, instruments set up, anything needed for it, everything's being arranged. And that's 5,000 to 6,000 are there. Then you have Vrinda Devi and the Vana Devis. And it doesn't even mention how many of those there are. And they have all their go-downs, they bring all the stuff. Does that make sense? So, that means people are being told what to do. And everyone's just getting it done like clockwork. You know, means, and it's good, Swiss clockwork. Swiss clocker with complications. You know, so that's the things. It's not just something ordinary. Now, what can hold everything together? Because girls can do things together if there's a common point. And only as long as there's a common point. As soon as there's not a common point, then, you know, you have the, how you say, Chinese formula for quarrel. Right? Is that so? So that means, is that just trying to please Krishna? Just trying to please Srimati Radharani? And the other, you know, senior go, but that's then what is there. That's what makes it. So that then they can always work together, always work in that way. Is that something?
Pardon?
Did
the example of Dukhi in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
The set example of Dukhi.
Yeah. Dukhi was doing menial service and Mahaprakash Lila was going on, taking water pots.
Dukhi was doing menial service while the Mahaprakash was going on. Okay.
Yeah. And she's been named Sukhi. Then she was named Sukhi.
Then she was named Sukhi.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, services are to Krishna and the devotees are absolute, you know. We cannot discriminate between higher and lower.
You can't discriminate between higher and lower. No, you can't discriminate between higher and lower, but you can discriminate between which ones take precedence over others, or what, you know, how the hierarchy. There is a hierarchy, but there's no discrimination. You know what I'm saying? Vishrakshena and Garuda, you know, they're in a position that others aren't in. But at the same time, as everybody does whatever they do to make it all work. There has to be a system. Does that work? Yeah.
Well, previously we said about karma, jnana, and all those. But can we say that actually, to get to pure devotional service, we have to give up that first karma, then jnana. That's how we deal, or we go directly to bhakti, and whatever mishra we have
is worked out there. Yes, that's what we do. See, is in the slow path will be going up this yoga ladder. By, you know, you'll start off as a karmi, following all the Vedic version, doing all your different things. You do that for thousands of lifetimes, then you'll start to see is that there is no real satisfaction in that. Then you'll start on that path of karma, jnana, do that for thousands of lifetimes or more, until one gets to the liberated platform, and then you find out that that's pretty empty, like that. You know, and then hopefully if you meet a Vaishnav, then you'll move forward. Otherwise, then you'll probably end up as a Buddhist, you know, like that. And for the devotee, they're following the path of bhakti, but on that path, they may be using karma more in Krishna service or jnana more. So it can be pure. It doesn't have to be mixed. It's just that that's the level of realization and that's the level of practice. So that's what's makes it difficult to really appreciate or understand, you could say, the actual pure devotional path, because the path looks the same as all the others, and the path accommodates all the others, but at the same time there is a difference on whether it is on the platform of purity or not. So that's what's difficult, because generally, we're used to the idea of that you have one level and then something else is completely different. Right? Or at least where we'll consider different. You know, it's like you're doing martial arts and so then there's a difference in the color of your belt. You know, you get to some level, your whole outfit and color might change. Or, you know, when you really get to the top, then you don't even wear one of those martial arts things. You just come in your suit, you know, like that. And stand on the side while all the guys that think that they're really good are out there and instructing and telling everyone what to do, like that. And so we're used to these very, very different things. You're out on the floor, then you move up, then you get an office. You move up more, you get the office in the corner, you know, like that. So all these things, and then you move up more, you're not even on that floor. People don't even know where you are. You're one of the floors above, you know. So here is that the difference between what the neophyte's doing and what the advanced devotee's doing, technically you won't see any difference. Right? So that's the whole point, is everybody's advanced. There's no need to create a hierarchy for training. there's only a hierarchy for organization. Does that make sense? So then it's just a matter of who's telling what to do, just to see what's happening, because they are closer and they can see what's happening. Right? Radharani and Krishna are discussing, the flavor's going in one way, therefore now they know what to do, they tell the others, now make this arrangement. Does that make sense? So you need that hierarchy, because then you can get it all done. I see. Right? Does that make sense? So, it's there, but not there. That's the whole point. Is we saw here Purnimasi and how she was interacting with Vrindadevi and all that, and we just see it's like kind of like two persons that are discussing things. But when it comes to the conjugal rasa, these two manage everything. They are the organizers of everything. Right? Does that make sense? And then directly inside, then you saw Lalita Devi was organizing. So all the situations, paraphernalias, the environments, that's all, and who's going to be there, that's all done by Vrinda and Purnimasi. Then exact what's happening right at that time, the exact interaction, then that's dealt with by Lalita. Does that make sense? Like, they take care. Does that make sense? Yeah, so the point is the devotional path, the quick path, is you're already doing the activities and having the understanding and attitude of pure devotional service. Whether we are on that platform or not, that's another thing. But we're still doing that activity. That's why we think, oh, it's just ordinary and all that. I want to move up. I've been in the movement a long time. I want to do something advanced. You know, so then we think, oh, so I got to get myself, you know, a computer and sit in meetings and all that and talk this and that and not actually come to any conclusions, because then our work would be over and, you know, we'd have to do something. Right? So then we take it that that's advanced. But the point is it's not about the secondary. It's about the attitude that one has. That's what defines the advancement. So it doesn't have a secondary thing. You're not a private gopi, and then you're private first class, and then you move up, then you're sergeant gopi, and then, you know, and then Lalita is the, you know, how you say five star general, or I think they just made George Washington 7-star. Like that. I mean, he's dead, but, you know, like that. His bones will be so happy. Yeah, so you don't have that whole thing, and it's not a, you know, trying to, you know, upwardly mobile gopis, you know. You know? I said UMGs. Upwardly mobile gopis. Like that. Does this make sense?
Yeah? You see, like, you know, how the gopis and the other Brajavasis, they appreciate Bhagavan aspect, Krishna's aspect. And therefore, you know, the aspect of Paramatma and Brahman is very easy for them because it's naturally included in Bhagavan, you know, the other two aspects. Yeah. But then at sadhaka level, you know, when we start, it is difficult for us to have the Bhagavan aspect, because only when we're in the temple in front of the deities, we understand it's Krishna and everything. But otherwise, you know, you're only dealing with the Brahman and the Paramatma aspect. So then how can we speed up this process, you know, wherein we stop looking at these two aspects. But
why do you have to stop? I mean, to speed up the process of going from Brahman and Paramatma understanding or dealing up to Bhagavan, then why these two processes have to go? Because these two processes are part of Bhagavan. So it's just you add in Bhagavan, then naturally then they're in their standard place. You understand?
But
So it's not a matter of moving on. That's what we're saying. That's the whole point that we're making here. It's not that you move on. It's just that everything becomes properly balanced. If everything, everybody is expert, then you don't have to have so much arrangement. And if very few are expert, and only a few are, and only some are committed and most aren't, then you have to have all the more and more arrangements, more and more authority, more and more of these things. So there's no need. The point is Brahman and Paramatma are already included within Bhagavan. Just as it mentions, Krishna is so kindly, instead of being within their hearts, he comes and is outside. So as Paramatma, he's with every living entity. But we see then in Krishna's pastimes with the gopis or with the cowherd, then he's with each one of them. So that feature, that you could say is the perfection of the Paramatma feature, or that they see Krishna in everything. They see him in the forest, they see him in the path, they see him in the black of the tamal tree. That's the perfection of the Brahman platform. But they see Bhagavan from these two platforms. So there's no need to remove them. It's not that I'm moving on. Right? It's a matter of when Bhagavan is included, it already has the other two. You know what I'm saying? Okay, let us say one is outside, one has four bricks and a, you know, pan or a pot. Okay? And you're cooking. So now, a kitchen would be a more developed situation, right? Okay. So now does that kitchen not have a fire and not have pots?
It does.
But we want to move on. We've been doing this for so long. Just the fire and the bricks and that. And so we want to move to the more advanced stage. So that means no bricks and no fire and no pots. It's just a kitchen, this perfect kitchen. You understand? So the point is Brahman and Paramatma are features of Krishna. That's how these devotees see Krishna in everything, everywhere. But it's Krishna who's everywhere. It's Krishna who is Brahman, Krishna who is Paramatma. Is it okay? Repetition of yani indicates that all these forms are worthy of worship since they remove lamentation and bestow bliss. You sustain, bibharti, these many forms, indicates that these are all expansions from Krishna. All people, lokaha, chant these pastimes. There is no qualification necessary. They chant in joy, muda, since this singing is the highest human goal. Right? I think those positions were talking about the Dasa avatar and all the different other avatars that were there. Sri Akura continued. I offer my obeisances to you, the cause of the creation, Lord Matsya, who swam about in the ocean of disillusion, to Lord Hayagriva, the killer of Madhu and Kaitava, to the immense tortoise, Lord Kurma, who supported Mandara Mountain, and to the boar incarnation, Lord Varaha, who enjoyed lifting the earth. Obeisances to you, the amazing lion, Lord Nrisimha, who removed your saintly devotee's fear, and to the dwarf, Vamana, who stepped over the three worlds. Obeisances to you, Lord of the Bhrigus, Parasuram, who cut down the forest of the conceited royal order, and to Lord Rama, the best of the Raghu dynasty, who put an end to the demon Ravana. Obeisances to you, Lord of the Satvatas, and to your forms of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. Obeisances to your form as the faultless Lord Buddha, who will bewilder the Daityas and Danavas, and to Lord Kalki, the annihilator of the meat-eaters posing as kings. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, though Buddha propagated scriptures opposed to the Vedas, he was faultless, Sudhaya, since the purpose was to bewilder demons. Kali kills persons who imitate Kshatriyas by ruling the land, who are similar to Malechas. Since he will enter among the Malechas, he is called Kalki, one who lives among the deceitful. Right, so in all these platforms, then Krishna, because it is his program, so then how he organizes these programs, then it comes out, it's all perfect. So therefore, any of these, then there's the glorification is then the position. But we have to remember is that the Buddha, that he taught the Buddhism, but it brought it to him that they are atheists, but then in this way they're worshiping the Lord, and that way they advance. But the techniques of Buddhist practice, that's not something that the Vaishnavas are practicing. Does that make sense? Because that's for the Daityas and Dhanavas. Hakura continued. O Supreme Lord, the living entities in this world are bewildered by your illusory energy, becoming involved in the false concepts of I and mine. They are forced to wander along the paths of fruitive work. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, after praising the Lord, Akura laments over those who do not worship the Lord, but instead follow the path of karma under the influence of Maya. Brahmyate. Akura continued, I too am deluded in this way. O Almighty Lord, foolishly thinking my body, children, home, wife, money, and followers to be real, though they are actually as unreal as a dream, thus mistaking the temporary for the eternal, my body for myself, and sources of misery for sources of happiness. I have tried it. So you see, is when everything's the opposite of what it is, then that is the mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance means we don't see things actually as they are, but we get them reversed. Right? So we think what's temporary is eternal. What source of misery is source of happiness. Right? These are the things. Right? Yeah. I have tried to take pleasure in mental dualities. Covered in this way by ignorance, I could not recognize you as the real object of my love. Just as a fool overlooks a body of water covered by vegetation growing in it and causes and chases a mirage, so I have turned away from you. My intelligence is so crippled that I cannot find the strength to curb my mind, which is disturbed by material desires and activities, and constantly dragged here and there by my obstinate senses. Being thus fallen, I am approaching your feet for shelter. O Lord, because although the impure can never attain your feet, I think it is nevertheless possible by your mercy. Only when one's material life has ceased, O lotus-navel Lord, can one develop consciousness of you by serving your pure devotees. So as we become purified, then we can take shelter and serve devotees. And if we find this difficult to do, that's just through the impurities. Right? Because we've been in the material world, because why would we serve devotees? Because of their connection to the Lord. We haven't served the Lord because we're trying to serve ourselves. So naturally, if we don't serve the Lord, we won't serve the Vaishnavas. So then taking up the process in the beginning, then that aspect of sadhu sangha then may have more or less significance. But as we advance and we see more the advantage and the importance of Vaishnavas, right? Then that's how we move forward. But that means then we have to give up our material desire. Like material life has ceased. So when one's life is simply centered around how to please Krishna, then that's then when things become auspicious. I mean, you know, most auspicious. It becomes dynamic. Srila Prabhupada writes the Krishna book, my dear Lord, I am no exception among these conditioned souls. I am falsely thinking myself happy in possessing my home, wife, children, estate, property, and friends. In this way, I am acting as if in a dreamland, because none of these are permanent. I am a fool to be always absorbed in thoughts of such things, accepting them as permanent truths. My dear Lord, due to my false identification, I have accepted as permanent everything which is non-permanent, such as this material body, which is not spiritual and is the source of all kinds of miserable conditions. Being bewildered by such conceptions of life, I am always absorbed in thoughts of duality, and I have forgotten you, who are the reservoir of all transcendental pleasure. I am bereft of your transcendental association, being just like a foolish creature who leaves a water spot covered by water-nourished vegetation and goes in search of water in the desert. Right, because if you come to a pond and you don't actually know what a pond really is, right? You're looking for water, but you don't really know what it is, and you don't know these things. Then you have different kinds of vegetation that grow on water, and some of them can grow so much you can't see the water. You know, like the local one around here, like panna. You can't actually see the water if it's been there and undisturbed. So you won't know it's water. Someone who understands water and understands this will know that's water because of the aquatic vegetation. But if someone doesn't know, then they will not see that. Does that make sense? Yes? So then you go for what you think is water, is that in the desert you see this mirage of water, right? It's a nice water. No vegetation, but it's a mirage.
Right. Point over here that all the pure devotees, and they keep on mentioning this particular point about false identification.
False identification, yes.
Yeah. So, like, is it that it's their the feeling, you know, that they have about false identification is. I don't know what I should say or not, but
remember, minefield.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If you're not sure to say it, don't say it.
These are the true feelings, Maharaj.
Are these true feelings?
Yeah.
So then the question is then when these devotees have these feelings that they're doing like this and everything, that they have this, they're, you know, under the control of duality, that they're attached to family and all this, are they just saying that? In actuality, they're not. It's that there just happens to be some neophytes around, so then they play their role, you know, they're just going along in this, and then another one of the associates elbows them and that, oh yes, 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 no, I'm so attached, I'm so this and that and all that. And then after the neophytes go away, then they all laugh and how that, yeah, I think they bought that one, yeah, okay, yeah, cool, okay, yeah. You know why we do this, because it's good for them, they have to learn to become humble, you know, like this. So is that what we're meaning here?
Mm-hmm.
So then what are we meaning?
Being advanced, you know. Yeah.
Being advanced means you should be able to be comfortable in your ego that I am advanced.
No. Because it seems as if it's contrary to the position that they are in.
It's contrary to the position they're in. And so this irreconcilable contradictions, that becomes a problem. Yes. So now, where can those irreconcilable differences, or opposites be reconciled? Perfectly. Easily. Naturally.
In Krishna.
So if you're absorbed in Krishna, then where is the duality? So because they're devotees, they're absorbed in Krishna. So because they're absorbed in Krishna, there is no contradiction. Because as we're not absorbed, then we see the contradiction. But as we advance, there is no contradiction. Yeah? They give up the spot where there is actually a reservoir of water and run into the desert where there is no water. My dear Lord, I am completely incapable of controlling my mind, which is now driven by the unbridled senses and is attracted by fruit of activities and their results. Therefore, my intelligence is very miserly. My dear Lord, your lotus feet cannot be appreciated by any person in the conditioned stage of material existence. But some or other I have come near your lotus feet, and I consider this to be your causeless mercy upon me. Because they take it that this is how they do and all that, because they're going to see that whatever they're doing is not actually up to the standard of pure devotion. Right? When they're being reflective. When they're absorbed in the pastime and interacting with Krishna and these things, then that's going on like that. But if they're reflective on it, then they'll say, I have all these things that are about the secondary, and I'm putting a lot of effort into these secondary elements. So they will just look at that and not at the primary element that they're doing all that for Krishna. So that's the difference, because they're doing all those things because of its connection to Krishna. But just looking at the secondary, then you can say like that. While us, we're dealing with the secondary because we want to, and Krishna is so kind that he's given an option how to connect it to him. And so because we have done that, then we may consider ourselves become proud, you know, based on the quality of our connection of these secondary elements. So therefore, that one is able to have these positions, be in the association of the Vaishnavas, do service, you know, have that connection to the Lord, then we see it as Krishna's mercy, his causeless mercy. Because there's nothing that we've done to deserve it. That's always an important thing. It's not that, yeah, I'm so intelligent, I'm a searcher, I'm looking for the truth. That's why I became a devotee. That has nothing to do with becoming a devotee. Right? There's tons of books written by such souls in their search for the truth that have nothing to do with devotional service. Because otherwise, if that was the qualification, all those people would be, you know, Diogenes would be, you know, at Mahabhagavat, you know, Paramahamsa. He doesn't care about his place and residence and all that. Socrates or all, you know, whoever is there who's searching and looking, you know, was it Kahil Ibrahim or like that? And you know that one? The prophet? Okay. So then, all these different things, they would all be there. You know, Hermann Hesse with his Siddhartha. And, you know, there's so many, you know, Jack Kerouac. You know, it just, you could go on and on, that they're searching. Emerson, Thoreau. But that's the whole point is that it's not. That's not a qualification. Because the point is there's four positions of qualification. And basically speaking is most of those are just ordinary mundane. Artartarti and Jigyasu, which when you say, no, I'm looking, that's a Jigyasu. Jnani means he's following the Vedic version. Out of duty, he follows the Vedic cultural, you know, references and lifestyle and recommended activities. Out of duty that he understands God is providing everything, I perform my duties. Right? That's the whole thing. You could take it down to, okay, someone's a good Christian or a good Jew or something, and so he does whatever is recommended in his line and do that. Then you could say, yes, that's on that platform. He's grateful. He's dutiful. Like that. So then that's there. But how many people who say that, no, I was a searcher, are on that platform? So that means they're in the lower three, which is just due to material attachment. But there's frustration in that, so they've turned to the Lord. So from this categorization, then Jigyasu is not that special anymore. It's just that someone has emotional anxiety, someone has intellectual anxiety, some has financial anxiety. But they're all just anxiety, and that's why we turn to the Lord. There's no sense of duty there. So that's the next higher up level. But then higher than that is doing it because they want to please the Lord. So that's the standard we're given. But we try to situate ourselves at least in the dutiful place. But if not, then in any of the other three. Point is, connected to Krishna. But the first three are not as strong because without that sense of duty and that performance of duties under authority, then if the mind shifts, then or we become so-called satisfied, we might shift from our position in devotional service. But in the dutifulness, we'll keep doing it whether we're inspired that day or not. Does that make sense? So it's a stronger position. Yes.
But if we can, even if we continue to do our duties,
yes,
despite up and downs, and
right,
you know, we are more steady in that.
Yes.
But still, devotional service is something that we do to please Krishna.
Yes.
It's not an external thing.
No, but why are we? We could be doing so many other things.
Yeah, but we're committed.
Yes, so we're committed to doing that, and so Krishna is pleased with that.
He also wants more.
Yeah, because there is more. Because we want more. Otherwise, why do we even come to the Krishna consciousness movement?
We come for something.
Yeah.
And we discover more things. So we kind of stick.
Yeah, because... But the point is the soul wants more. So we've seen that wanting more in the material platform only gives trouble. Right? And so the inherent nature to develop and go for more, that's not a problem. Right? Bliss means it's always increasing. Right? Because what are we dealing with here? Whose bliss are we talking about? Our bliss or Krishna's bliss?
Krishna's.
No, but I'm saying we're talking about Krishna's bliss, but when we're talking about the Satchidananda of the soul, what are we talking about?
Our,
which is energy. And does energy ever like the same bliss day in, day out? No, it has to increase. Only the masculine can do that. So therefore, Krishna's Atmarama, he can be self-satisfied. Right? Does that make sense? So, but the feminine nature has to increase. So that's why we try to increase the material, it just gets worse. Then what's the alternative? Then, by Krishna's grace, because we're looking, he puts us in contact with the devotees. Then it's a matter of, do we take that? Do we appreciate that? Then if we take it up, then we advance. And we see is that actually, that variety and that ever-increasing is actually in the spiritual platform, not in the material. So therefore, it can ever-increase. And the Atmarama platform is satisfying and is complete in itself, but there is more. So there's more taste. So Krishna gets more taste by interacting with his energies. And then that interaction, then that creates the unlimited, ever-expanding bliss. Otherwise, it's unlimited bliss, but this is unlimited and ever-expanding.
Can we say that attachment to the material mode of goodness would stop us?
It can be a stumbling block. But it's less of a stumbling block than passion or ignorance. But it's still a stumbling block. Because, see, the means, if we notice that, okay, giving up material attachment, not wanting us things for ourselves, being engaged in recommended activities, doing something that is satisfying to Krishna, and, you know, that we're giving up things for the pleasure of the devotees, that we've been dealing with, you know, all through, you know, these earlier cantos, where basically there's no doubts coming up about that, right? You know, sometimes a question on how do we, you know, since these things aren't a goal, how do we're in these situations, how to connect them to Krishna, but the principle of it, there's no doubt, right? And, okay, liberation is, you know, overrated, and that the spiritual, the positive and all that, so that we'll accept, right? So then the happiness is there in Krishna consciousness, that eternal bliss, then we're good up to there, right? But then when you have the point of, but all these devotees in Vrindavan, the feelings of separation, and then it appears that there's a miserable condition, why would that be there? That's the symptom of attachment to goodness. Right? Because goodness means you don't want any problem. So that's why you're willing to follow all the duties and do all the things properly, because that gives the best situation, least miserable situation. Because material desire, as soon as you have that, along with it is also its evil twin, is the misery. And so, however much you enjoy, that much you'll suffer. Right? So the point is here, that makes a problem. It's all, it gives you the material taste. Right? You're happy about something, you're miserable about something, you get that full material taste. Right? But then you have to go back to the happiness part. You know? In other words, the material misery then makes the happiness better. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so it's like, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. We're all good with that one? Okay. So in the spiritual world, then why wouldn't that same principle then be working, but in the positive? Because here it's negative. There is no positive. The best is zero, and that's called liberation. Right? And so, therefore, here it absorbs us in the material taste. But the material taste overall, whether it's good or bad, doesn't actually give us any satisfaction. But the spiritual, because that's the nature, then you'll get that overall taste in Krishna consciousness. So it doesn't matter if it takes the form of positive or negative. It's all positive. But because we're used to identifying here is that we do everything right because then there's less trouble, then why there should be trouble in the spiritual world? That's going to be the attachment to goodness. Does that make sense? Or, let's say, taking up a responsibility that will create trouble. You don't want to do that for Krishna. Let's say temple service, like some management or something like that, it's going to be a lot of service, a lot of trouble. So we may be not inclined to take it up because of the trouble. That's the mode of goodness. So pure goodness means that's absent. Then it's simply about, because goodness means you're performing your duties. Right? And, you know, and all to please Krishna, but pure goodness means it's just about pleasing Krishna, and then you do duties to do that. Does that make sense? So so goes from engaging goodness in the service of pure goodness to sarva dharma parityaja, where you're engaging pure goodness, means in pure goodness, you're engaging goodness as the mode to use, because passion, ignorance aren't recommended modes. Why you'd want to use them? You know what I'm saying? Why would you want to use that super thin aluminum frying pan when you can use this nice, heavy-bottomed, non-stick frying pan? You know, because you're cooking for Krishna. If you're cooking for yourself, yeah, use the aluminum thing and have it stick and burn and be half-cooked and half-burnt at the same time, right? That takes mastery to do that. That's not easy to do, right? Only a bad cook can do it, right? A good cook can't do it, you know, like that. But a bad cook, they can get it burnt and uncooked at the same time. It's like amazing. Yeah, it's a city, you know.
It develops automatically the city.
Yeah, yeah. All you have to do is not know what you're doing and step into the kitchen, and you're already a Paramahamsa in this technique. Good. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur elaborates. Though what I have said about myself is true, I surrender to you. This surrender is hard to attain, but I have your mercy. This is possible. When will you be merciful to me? But if I have your mercy, this is possible. When will you be merciful to me, O lotus-naveled one? I concentrate on you when I get the opportunity serving devotees. So, I will concentrate on you when I get the opportunity serving devotees. So serving devotees is how we can actually be absorbed in Krishna. We want to be more absorbed in Krishna, then we have to render more service to the Vaishnavas. That's how we look at it. But that means favorable according to what's needed to them, the right attitude and this and that. Not that we just decide, I'm doing this service. You know, I'm going to assist in this way. You know, that doesn't work out so good. When will that be? When the material energy ceases to act, when will that happen? When I get the mercy of the devotees. In other words, getting mercy is the first step. followed by the beginning of destruction of material influence, followed by service to devotees, followed by concentration on the Lord. What was shown previously is stated here. Right? So, you get the mercy by having that sincerity to please the Lord through following the instructions and that given by the devotees. Then there's the application, then getting that, then we're able to then surrender and follow the devotees. Doing that, then we can concentrate on Krishna, and that's then how it functions. So we're not concentrating on Krishna means we're not fully absorbed in serving the devotees. We're not fully absorbed in serving the devotees means then we haven't destroyed, there is not the destruction of the material attachment. And that's there, that's still there because of the lack of mercy. So then gaining the Lord's mercy by sincerely wanting to engage in the service of the devotees to please the Lord, then that then starts the second thing, destruction of the material attachments, and then that brings about the appreciation and the service of Vaishnavas, that brings about concentration on the Lord. We try to just deal directly with the Lord, it's not going to happen. We try to avoid the association of devotees, then we're not going to actually be able to be absorbed in the Lord. Right? We may think now and again because of association through the books or like this or some remembrances, but at the same time, is unless we're associating with devotees, it doesn't actually move forward. Because Krishna in all his pastimes, do we ever hear of it where he's alone? Right? No. That's only the Hindus have him in a cloud with the Omkar sign. And, you know, does that make sense? Yeah. Akura continued. Obeisance is to the Supreme Absolute Truth, the possessor of unlimited energies. He is the embodiment of pure transcendental knowledge, the source of all kinds of awareness, and the predominator of the forces of nature that rule over the living being. O son of Vasudeva, obeisance is to you, within whom all living beings reside. O Lord of the mind and senses, I again offer you my obeisances. O Master, please protect me, who am surrendered unto you. Right, so by surrendering, then one is able to get the Lord's mercy. But we have to surrender to the Lord. Right? So that means what's favorable, what is recommended by the Acharyas. In other words, to surrender to the Lord, you have to get the mercy of the devotees. By getting the mercy of the devotees, you get the mercy of the Lord. By getting the mercy of the Lord, then you can actually take advantage of the association of the Lord. Does that make sense? So the whole process is about the devotees. Yes?
We see in the prayers of the Acharyas, there's a general mood of prayer, mm-hmm. and there's also specific, they actually beg for specific mercy.
Yes.
So is that how the process works, that at a certain level we have to pray for specific mercy to go up to the next one?
Generally, in the kinds of prayers, you have Prarthana, Dainya Bodhika, and Lalasamayi. Those are the three kinds of prayers.
Yeah.
So, what you're mentioning about specific service or that absorption in the Lord, that's Lalasamayi. That you're a particular perfection, that you want to be absorbed in that pure devotional service or pure unalloyed devotional service or have that attitude of service that we see in the great devotees. So, that's Lalasamayi. Prarthana then is glorifying the Lord for his natural position as being, you know, most worshipable and most wonderful. And Dainya Bodhika then is where we see ourselves in that humble position. Right? So we see is that he's, all these three are in these prayers.
Right.
It's just different points he's bringing out. Like he opens with the Prarthana about how great the Lord is and everything, and having said all that, then he brings about how, you know, he's beyond everything, but I'm completely controlled, so the Dainya Bodhika comes in, and then we see this last bit then about Lalasamayi, that he may attain that transcendental position in which he can please the Lord, you know, and have that association of the devotees. So here we see he's praying for that association of devotees. May I gain your mercy so that I may get the association of devotees, and in their association, then I can have that concentration. So we see, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we see also in the Bhav Sadhana that it's those who get the association of the eternal associates, they then develop that mood in which they can fully concentrate on the Lord. Otherwise, those who don't have that
are not fully concentrating on the Lord. So they haven't come to samadhi. Samadhi means full concentration. But only those who have the association of the eternal associates come to that platform of samadhi. Others you see are in lower levels of meditation. They're all meditating on Krishna. But some, you know, occasionally, some more regularly, some more steadily, then some more deeply, and then there's samadhi. Does that make sense? But that the difference is who is getting the association with devotees. So that we come in contact with the devotees, and that's the Lord's mercy, but that then we are able to take advantage and appreciate that association, and that's greater mercy. So the first one is the causeless mercy, and then the next is then his mercy. Which is also causeless, because it's never that we think I've done something that I deserve this. Right? Because if we think that I deserve it, then we're not in as advanced a position as we think we are. Even if we're advanced, it's still going to be a stumbling block. So, yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Akura surrenders himself to Krishna's lotus feet in two verses. I will be able to realize you in proportion to how much realization you give. Vijnana Matraya. You are the cause of all other knowledge as well. Sarva Pratyaya Hetu. Since you are the Supersoul, Purusha, inspiring all activities. So that knowledge about Krishna, the realization about Krishna, is coming from Krishna alone. You can't get it by any other process. But at the same time, he mentions, even all the other knowledge is still coming from him. All the paravidya, that's coming from him, only by his mercy. But at the same time, only the apara is also coming from him. Yes.
So he's to be blamed.
If
we don't have it.
If we don't blame it, he's to be blamed.
We can blame ourselves too. But if it's coming from him and we don't have it, who's it for?
Okay, that your very expensive, hand-blown, you know, multicolored, you know, whatever that island is off the island, you know, off of Venice, you know, that your three-year-old son doesn't have it in his hand is all your fault.
Partially.
You want to stick to your guns here.
Yes. Because that's a common doubt.
It's a common doubt, but I'm just saying, let's just follow through on this three-year-old and your vase.
Yeah.
So why doesn't he have it?
Because we make sure that it's out of his reach.
And why are we doing that?
So he's not going to break it.
So that means if he would break such a thing, does that mean he has qualifications or not?
He has qualifications to break it.
Does he have qualifications to maintain it or appreciate it?
No.
Yes. So therefore, is it wise that the parent would give him the vase?
No.
So would people, let's say on the planet, would people, okay, the child wants the vase and the parent doesn't give it to them. Would there be any people on the planet that would complain? Why aren't they giving it to the child? The child wants? What kind of parentage is this?
No.
How restricting? So then, is it the fault of the parent?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
Huh? You understand? So, therefore, when we lack qualification, therefore we don't have this knowledge. Because if you have knowledge, what is it? Saying my mother used to say, if you had half a brain, you'd be dangerous.
Right?
Huh? Yeah, so it's a standard.
Universal.
Yeah, universal. Mothers say. According to the Mata Samhita. Right? So what does that mean? It's that if you had knowledge, you'd be more dangerous if you didn't.
right? Okay, you have a bunch of German guys sitting around, okay? And they have that mechanical brain that they have, right? And they don't have very much brain at all. What do they end up, you know, doing? Okay, they make some beer or something. They have a little bit more brain than the same guys in the same area while drinking their beer, then make a car. Right? Same guys, same area have even more brains. I mean, like, really brains coming out their ears. They make the atomic bomb. Right? So, in other words, intelligence is, can only be, knowledge can only be given to those who are qualified to have it. Otherwise, then it will be misused. So that's why in the Vedic system is that if you're qualified for knowledge, then you get it. But if you're not qualified, even if you have the potential, then the attitude is worked on until the attitude's right, then the knowledge is there. So in the Vedic system, the attitude one has is actually the main focus, not the knowledge or the activity or the goal, is the attitude. Because if you don't have the attitude, you can't actually appreciate what the actual goal is. Right? Without desire, you can't have need. So if the attitude's wrong, that means then the need you'll have will be wrong. So that's why that's the first thing. So even someone's doing something properly or said something that's proper, if the attitude's wrong, you see that Prabhupada in his comment may say the exact opposite. You know, due to some material attachment, some material perspective, then Prabhupada may give it a different perspective, point out, you know, something good and what they're talking about is wrong. Like, you know, some devotee was in, you know, down on soy sauce in Japan, right? That's like being down on, you know, ketchup in America or something, right? So, you know. So like that, and it's all about the soy sauce, because the soy sauce makes it or breaks it whether you're a serious devotee or not. And Prabhupada then made the comment, no, but it's very good for increasing, you know, if someone has iron deficiency, it's very good, you know, for iron. You know, what do you say after that? Because it's not about the soy sauce. You know what I'm saying? It's about wanting to please Krishna. Now, whether Krishna would want to eat soy sauce or not is another thing, but you know what I'm saying. So it's about pleasing Krishna. So because they're getting into the ritual, the secondary, so strongly, then Prabhupada cuts that. Another devotee was making some comment about allopath medicine, but it's all just about the external of it. He's not seeing its connection to Krishna. That Prabhupada said, no, in some fields they're very advanced. Yeah, some fields they have no idea what they're talking about. But the whole idea is that, in other words, what's useful you use and what's not useful you don't use. So it's not about, oh, allopath's bad. It's about, is if it has any validity in any area, you use it. And if it doesn't, why would you use it? And if Ayurveda's available and they know what they're doing, you'd use it for everything. But if they only know partly, then you use it for those areas and use other disciplines to fill in the gaps. You know what I'm saying? So it's about pleasing Krishna. It's not about the thing itself. But if we had a choice, what we would develop ourselves, we would develop what the Shastra recommends. Therefore, we would cultivate the Ayurveda. You know? But if you're not a doctor or that, you use whatever is available. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Make sense? Good? Yes.
So we don't have any qualification. However, Srila Rupa Goswami says that the desire is our quality.
Yes.
So
yes.
How far can we go on the desire?
All the way. It's only desire. Rag means desire. Attachment. Right? Vatsalya Rati means the attachment of the desire to serve Krishna in parental rasa. It's just about desire. There's a science of this desire, how it works. Because desire and need are connected. Because of desire, you make the endeavor for need. Because of desire and need and all that, you have the particular knowledge and science how to apply it. Right? So it all goes together. So then that desire being there, then you will act in the appropriate way. And once you get the results of that, then those results move back to Prajumna, which then adds to the next desire. Right? You've done something, then you want to do that again. Now you have more knowledge, you have more facility, you have more experience, so therefore then it becomes nicer and nicer. So it's all connected together. Right? So in other words, Prajumna and Aniruddha are only connected because of Vasudev. But to perform those activities in Vasudev, you have to have the knowledge of all the others. Right? How do I know my activity is working if I don't know where it's going? You know, how do I do the activity? I don't have the knowledge of how it works, who I am in the whole relationship. Right? So then in that, since all that's there, then all that in place, then it works. But if you're going to start one place, it'll be about the attitude. And once the attitude is there, that okay, I'm going to accept devotional service, the next thing is the results are for Krishna. Mm-hmm. And once I see the results are for Krishna, then how to understand, how to apply the results for Krishna, that's going to be Sankarsan, the subject matter itself. And then having all that now you can apply it very nicely in the process. And then as you do that, that'll increase everything, and then that whole cycle will just keep getting more and more. So desire is the one, that is the independence of the living entity. Once you've made a choice, that's carried out by the Lord's energies, not by us. We take part. Does that make sense? So we're the instrument. But actually the energies themselves do the transformation. Why do they transform? According to Krishna's pleasure. So we can take part as an instrument in the transformations of the Lord's energy to please Krishna. You, the controller, Isha, as time, give the results of action. As Maya, Pradhan, you bind up the jivas. And as Brahmagyana, Brahman, you liberate them. As Bhagavan, Ananta Shakit, you give us devotion to yourself, and thus your work is complete. Right? So all that, he gives the realization, and all other knowledge necessary to apply ourselves in his service. Because he's the super soul, right? Because he's there. He inspires the activities. So he being the controller of everything, then he gives the results of action. So that knowledge that we have, then he controls the action, but he also is tied, is the results of the action. And then from that, then with that proper understanding of how these things work by Krishna's grace, that knowledge, then we're liberated from the material condition. Being liberated from the material condition, then we are able to get that devotion to Krishna. Right? And how do we get that? Through serving the Vaishnavas. So with that, then Krishna's work is complete. So, O Hrishikesh, please protect me. This means, O Lord, please take my mind and sense, take my mind and senses so they do not become attached to wife and son. So if Krishna takes your mind, then it doesn't get attached to anything else. So that's the whole idea. If the mind is absorbed in Krishna, then other things will not be attached to. But, as we saw before, with Krishna's giving all this variety of knowledge, of Vijnana Matraya and Sarva Pratyaya Hetuhu, then in that position, then we have that knowledge, realization about Krishna, we can be absorbed in Krishna, and at the same time, we are... Somehow, the way you're wearing your hat looks like one of those Nepali hats. No? Which is okay. And I'm just wondering, was he Nepali in his last life? Okay. So that absorption in Krishna, then we are have that, that's prominent. And then we'll also have the knowledge how to be engaged in the Lord's service by using the material facilities that we have in our possession due to our conditioned situation. But we'll do that all in relationship to Krishna. That then makes it complete. Right? So it doesn't mean that when we have this knowledge about Krishna and Krishna has our mind, we're absorbed, we can't do the household duties and all that. Yes, we can, because Krishna is that knowledge. He is time. He is the results. But the perspective will be doing it different. We'll see it how to please Krishna doing this rather than I please myself with this. And then at the same time, I also try to do something for Krishna. So, okay, so end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Natai Gaura Premavinoda ki.